Parsha Truma, we know, is the Parsha which details for us the command to build the tabernacle, the Mishkan, with specific directives on how to build the items in the Mishkan, the Aron, the Shulchan, the Kruvim, etc. Beginning of the Parsha, Hashem spoke to Moshe, saying, "Speak to the children of Israel, and let them take for me a portion from every man whose heart motivates him. You shall take my portion." And now we have a list of what you shall take. This is the portion you shall take from them. And as we go through this list, each and every item can really be a shir b'fnei atzmo, and we'll be focusing in Mirtz Hashem on one this particular year. Gold, silver, and copper, and turquoise, purple, and scarlet wool, linen and goat hair. These were all the different things necessary in order to build. Let's say, for the Aron, you needed the gold, the Kruvim were made of gold, the menorah, etc. Verse 5 continues, red-dyed ram skins, tachash skins, acacia wood, oil for illumination, spices for the anointment of oil, anointment oil and the aromatic incense, shoham stones and stones for the setting, for the ephod and the breastplate, and then the famous pasuk, Vasuli Mishkash, Vishachanti Vitocham, they shall make a sanctuary for me, so I will dwell among them. Within this list, I'd like to focus in on something which is, in my humble opinion, not something very well known, a Rashi, a Medrash, a Chazal, that we often don't focus in on, and frankly is very, very fascinating, and like everything, has a tremendous amount to teach us. One of the things that they had to take were the skins of the tachash, the arot chashim. And as the Gemara, source 2a, the tachash was a beautiful multicolored animal that existed only at that time and then became extinct. And that is indeed the Rashi. If we take a look in 3a, I want to focus it on this Rashi. Min haya velo haita ela l'sha'a. This is a type of animal which existed only at that time. Varbe gvanim hayula. It had many colors. Lekach meturgaman seskusna. Therefore, it is rendered by Targum Unglus as this name, which is really made up of two, the Sas and the Gona, which is the Sasa. It rejoiced. Umitpa'er, and it prides itself, Begvanim Shalo, in its colors. This is what was so special about the this tachash, is that it had incredible colors, almost like that peacock, right? The feathers, incredible colors. And it was only for that particular amount of time, and it was something this animal prided itself in its different colors. Then Rashi goes to the Atzei Shittim that we know. Where did they get this from in the Midbar? They got it from Yaakov Avinu, who planted the Arazim trees, and we spoke about this in the past, and knowing that they would need them, and they took them with them when they left Egypt. Where did these tachash come from? That's a good question, and Mirtz Hashem will answer that as well. Before we raise our questions on Rashi and on this tachash skin, I just want to focus in on this language of Unglus for a moment. As the Ma'arel Tiskin points out, the English is in 3b, the Hebrew in Tali Oros quotes in 4. Since the tachash existed only in the wilderness for the children of Israel were there would be no word for it in any language other than Hebrew. It wasn't created in the time of Maisa Breishit. So how can then Targum Unglus translate it into a different language? It didn't exist in a different language. Therefore, Rashi explains that Targum is not translating, but is explaining that the animal looked like. It's a kinui, that it was sas umitpa'er v'gvanim shala. So it's not that word is the Aramaic translation of tachash, but rather it's a description of what the tachash was about. Someone, an animal, who prided itself on its colors. Because of this, because of this difficulty of understanding this targum, it doesn't really exist because there was no animal like this. And further, notes the Shnayim Mikra, it's almost a combination which doesn't work and is only unique to here. Sas being Hebrew and Gavna is Aramaic, and you're putting in the Aramaic, a Hebrew and Aramaic word. So therefore, based on the Tanchuma, unlike Rashi, one could explain that Amar Rabbi Yehuda Shisha Gvanim Hayula, that what the Unglus was saying, unlike the way Rashi understands Unglus, but it's based on the Medrash, is Saskvuna means Shisha Gvanim. It had six different colors in it. And indeed the Radak explains it the same way. The implication for us, because we're not going to be taking this approach. We're going to be taking the approach of sas, as Rashi explains it, as rejoicing. But I would want to mention this, the implication of having six different aspects of color would lead us to what the Ol Yosef speaks about in source number six, that these six represent the six spheros, the six emanations, the seventh being Malchus, is Hashem himself, who dwells on the Mishkan. So this tachashkin was meant for the top of the Mishkan. These were the covering of the top of the Mishkan, had these beautiful coverings, this colorful covering covering the Mishkan. So why was it this beautiful covering? So this six type of hues represent the six, again, the six zeros, the Malchus of Hashem representing the seventh, and Hashem, therefore, almost symbolically, put all of this into the special animal that was only created for this very short amount of time. Now, before, again, we'll get to the questions in Source 9, just a little bit of a background. From where does Rashi, Chazal, understand that this was a one-time animal? So one approach in the Sfarim is that it has to be a kosher animal. So the Gemara in Shabbos, Kufchet, speaks about, it wouldn't make sense that on top of the Mishkan was an impure animal. Albeit there was an animal like this, of multicolor, but it was an impure animal. That wouldn't make sense that Hashem would choose to cover the Mishkan with a pure animal. It is not listed among the pure animals in the list of the kosher animals. So therefore, Chazal therefore have to say it has to be a kosher animal because they have to cover the Mishkan. It's not listed among the kosher animals. So therefore, we'll say that it was created not in Sheshimei Breshit. It's fascinating. It wasn't created among the six states of creation. It even wasn't created in the Bereshit Shemashos Erev Shabbat. It was created for a very short amount of time in the desert, and then it became extinct. The other approach, the Imre Shefer brings down in Source 7, of why do we force to say that this is a one-time animal, is more of a technical deal, but I'll just bring it down, is that by the previous pasuk, it speaks about the animal itself. Well, here it brings the orot of the elim and the orot of tchashim. Now, why the orot of the elim he speaks about, but why mention the orot of the tchashim? Why mention the skins of the tchashim? Just say, bring tchashim, bring these animals. Why the skins of it? So says Imre Shefer, the fact that it mentions the skins of the animal and not the animal is meant to tell us that the animal was not found, you know, and it was only found for its skins. What we're focusing in on is the skin of the animal, not the animals itself. And that's why the end of Rashi is that the animal prided itself on its skin, because that was what made it so unique. And the fact that it says Orot Tchashim and not Tchashim is teaching us that it was created just for its skins, and that's why it was here for just a very short amount of time. Just to get a little bit of a description of this animal, Mamloes in Source 8, Hainu Orsho Chayat Torah Shaitaba Midbar Vishama Tachash, the name of this animal is Tachash. It had one kerem de mitzcha, it had one horn in the middle of its forehead, Vayaba Orash Shisha Minei Gvanim, and it had on its skin, as we mentioned, the six different colors. Ha'chad Yoter Ne'im Echaveiro, each one was more beautiful than its friend. Umareho Hayad Davar Moshechet Halev, it was something that drew one's heart. It was something very, very beautiful. And brings down Rashi that it was very prideful of the fact that it was, it had such beautiful hues in it. It was created just for a short amount of time, and then it disappeared. And the Medrash also brings down that it was Maisa Nisim Haya, it was miraculous that such an animal hide could cover such a wide width and breadth of the Mishkan. Obviously, when you take a look at a Rashi like this, quite a number of questions come up. So let's take a look at the Shilei Pinchas in English of some of the questions. Why did Kadosh Baruch Hu create, in Source 9, a special animal solely for the purpose of covering the Mishkan? That question, even though we'll touch on it, I still think it's going to be a Serech Iyun. It's a question that, you know, go take home to your Shabbos table and discuss it. B, or good luck finding more answers than I was successful. B, now the purpose of Mishkan was to provide a resting place for the Shechina, as it's written, Vasili Mikdash V'Shechanti V'Tocham. And as we know, Hashem only rests the Shechina on the humble. In fact, the Gemara says, concerning any person who possesses haughtiness in this world, Hashem says, I and he cannot dwell together in the world. So why would Hashem create such an animal for the sake of the Mishkan, that rejoices and prides itself in its color. Self-pride and delighting in oneself seem to be diametrically opposed to the characteristic of humility. So that seems very odd. And three, as explained, Hashem only created the creature to exist for a brief period of time. Why did HaKadosh Baruch Hu refer to this animal in the Torah as a tachash? What's the meaning of the name of this animal? What is the connection between this name and the Targum's interpretation indicating rejoices and pride in its colors? And we will add to the question this language of Rashi, where Rashi says, the lo haita ela l'sha'ah, it was only there for a sha'ah, for an hour. What do we learn from that expression? It's a very strange expression, lo haita ela l'sha'ah. I will make mention, just to try to be a little bit intellectually honest, to have the whole picture here, before focusing in on these specific questions, and the obvious question is, what do we learn from this for our lives? Which is clearly our question every week, my friends. But I would like to mention, is it l'sha'ah means just for the time that they're building the Mishkan? Or some of Farshim say it existed for all 40 years the Jews were in the desert. The only other time you have mention of the Tachash is a pasuk in Yecheskel, which speaks about when Hashem took us out, how He took care of us. It speaks about the shoes we wore were made of Tachash, which some of Farshim, like Rav Breuer on Yecheskel, speak about this in a symbolic way, that Hashem, the Mishkan, you know, enclosed us in the Tachash skin. Or some of Farshim say that the Tachash skin was used for their shoes. As we know, the Pasuk in Dvarim tells us that their shoes didn't wear out their entire year. Was it the same Tachash animal? Was it a similar one? Again, that's open to interpretation among the Mefarshim. My friends, this is a shiur that is not going to focus in on that. We could have a shiur solely, with pun intended, on this topic, but not for today. So let's understand, my friend, what is this Tachash all about? What do we learn from this Tachash? What's this idea of being prideful in its colors, only l'shah for a certain amount of time? How do we understand it? So I'd like to try to look at this on three different levels and see what we can come up with. Level number one is, we'll start with Talos Shamayim, where he says, we know that Sanui Ma'od Midas HaGaiva, Hashem really hates people who have gaiva, who have haughtiness. As we mentioned, Chazal say, any person who has haughtiness, Hashem says, I and him can't live in the same world. But we do have Vayibali Bo B'Darchei Hashem. There are times that a person should be haughty, should have that strength of character to be able to stand up for Hashem's will. And that's why he says, that's the language of Rashi, L'sha'ah, Rat L'sha'ah, V'tekef Yosirena Mimenu. To have this just for a short amount of time, this pride in Avodas Hashem, that's okay. And the Shir Vashavach at the end in 11 speaks about that Talmid Chacham can have a Shemini Sheva Shemini Sheva Gaiva, an eighth of haughtiness. And the Mishkan, the place of the Aron, the place of the Luchos, the place of Torah, was representing the topping of Tachash, that a Talmid Chacham, someone who has Torah in him, can have a little bit of this pride found in him, L'shah, in the correct measure, in the right way, and that's a message. But really, on this first level, I think what the Tachash comes to teach us is what the Shir Vashevach says in the asterisk. Apim Amar Chazal. Hashem says, on the Baal Gaiva, we can't live together. Because why? Because Adam Yesodo Ma'afar, we come from dust. Hamesugal Yigobo Lama Malek Vo Bekvod Hashem. Can a person who comes from dust feel this Gaiva of, look how great I am? It can't be. Vaday Naguihu Bekvira. If a person has any sense of Gaiva, he must have Kvira. He must have someone who doesn't believe in Hashem. V'hine, ha-tachash ha-mitba'er, this tachash, this animal, who prides itself in its colors, ha-inu bal-chai ram le-vahu min-aseg, you know, walks around again. You know that expression, strutting like a peacock? That's what I'm thinking about here. This animal, it's not a peacock, yeah? It's a chaya, it's a behema, right? It's not a bird, but it's this animal that walks around feeling like, you know, I'm God's gift to the world with my beautiful colors. And therefore, ve'en lo zchud kiyum ba'olam ha'shakash baruch hu. It couldn't exist in this world. It wasn't able to be created in this world. It wasn't able to be sustained in this world. And it was only created for this particular purpose to teach us that the only place where you can find gaiva, the only place you can find pride, is in the Mishkan. Is by Hashem, who resides in the Mishkan. Ki ach v'rak mi sheishkin shkinato b'mishkan hazeh hu levado malach geur. Only Hashem can be filled with pride. Lavesh. V'chi ha-gaiva v'gedula l'chayo mami v'vad heim. The idea of gaiva and gedula, of hoardiness and greatness, belong only the chayo mami to Hashem. So this this beautiful skin of this animal was put on the Mishkan, symbolizing such a creature can't exist in this world because such a creature is antithesis of what this world is about. But if you want to find gaiva and gedula, you'll find it right here in Hashem's Mishkan. We know that HaKadosh Baruch Hu's presence, to feel that intensity of Hashem's presence, really happened in three major occurrences in the world. And they reflect the three times of Shabbos, Friday night, creation of the world, Shabbos day of Mamad Har Sinai, and Shal Shudis, the time of Atacha, the Shimchacha, the future time will be of Mashiach. The Mishkan is an echo of Mamad Har Sinai. It's feeling Hashem's presence that was that one moment in time and history, and to be able to carry it through in our time. I'd like to share a piece specifically I chose from Rav Belsky Zatzal, who's we're still in the week of Avelus, of mourning for this Gadol B'Yisrael, where he quotes here in Source 12 the Ramban, who notes that the Mishkan was representative of Mamad Har Sinai, which was an open revelation of Hashem's connection to Klal Yisrael, whereby Hashem came down and joined with the earth, and the voice of Hashem was heard and understood by all. This was a unique one-time event. It could only be for a moment. For to serve the purpose of creation, Hashem's imminence must be hidden. The effect of these events, however, had to be perpetuated, and this was done with the construction of the Mishkan, which was a microcosm of the events of Har Sinai. Building the Mishkan served to eternalize the events of Har Sinai within Klal Yisrael. And indeed we know that just like Mamad Har Sinai had certain boundaries that the people were allowed to enter into and were not allowed to enter, that was parallel in the Mishkan, right? God could walk into the Kodesh Kodashim, then you had the Kodesh, the Heichal, the Azara, the different places where different people were allowed to be found. And this is, again, to understand that the Mishkan was a place which was like a continual Mamad Har Sinai, that you felt Hashem's presence, and therefore it was the only place where you could have this tachash skin to represent the gedula, the greatness of Hashem. Now we know that Rabbi Pliskin, in his very special, very sweet sefer on Tehillim, Growth Through Tehillim, speaks about that famous Sigaret HaRamban, who says that what can a human being be arrogant? Can we be arrogant about wealth, fame, glory, wisdom? Source number 14, a young child who has just learned the Hebrew alphabet might consider himself a great scholar. He knows all the letters, but what is that compared to the greatest scholars of the present generation? All the more so of the previous generation. He didn't know what he does not know. The Mishkan is a place where you saw so clearly Hashem's presence, and then you were able to look at yourself and say, I'm nothing compared to Hashem. That is a recognition. The Mishkan came to be able to put a person in the correct perspective, which we really need all the time. That as great as you think you are, like that little child, hey, I just saw the alphabet, I must be the, you know, God's gift to the world. He realizes he knows nothing. This arrogance and conceit are signs of foolishness, limited awareness. Even when a human being has more riches than anyone, 15, else on a planet, he has nothing compared to the vastness of all the galaxies that exist in the universe. Riches can easily be lost in a short time, and regardless of anyone's intelligence, an illness that affects a person's memory and ability to think rationally can cause them to lose all that he knows. All mortals are fragile. My friends, as you can hear, I felt it this week. Maybe this is what propelled this year, being Baruch Hashem, because this is exactly what Hashem knew was best for me. I haven't figured it out yet, being sick in bed all week, struggling to put together the shiur, struggling to teach right now, you realize that, you know, you can only work with so much capacity, and then that's it. And we're frail. We're fragile. You know, you can get this virus that can just knock you out for a week. This is what you have to realize, that, you know, as great as you think you are, and as smart as you are, and, we're limited. And God sometimes, you know, knocks us on the head and says, you are limited. If you don't remember it, I'll teach you that. Humility is an automatic response of one who has even a small glimpse of the power and omniscience of the Creator. Therefore, Moshe Rabbeinu was the greatest in understanding of Hashem, was also the most humble person who ever lived. The more one knows that one does not know very much and truly does not have any lasting power and strength. Lower yourself, the Almighty will raise you, wrote the Ramban. That is, you are automatically higher and more elevated the more you realize that Hashem is all-powerful and all-knowing, and that you are very far from this. This, my friends, is level number one. Level number one is about understanding so clearly that the Mishkan was made of these tachashkin. It couldn't exist in my separation because it is the antithesis of what the creation is about. But I want it on the Mishkan, Hashem says, because I want you to understand that this idea of being on the top of this gaiva, of this, you know, strutting like a peacock imagery, is to recognize that the only one for whom gaiva is allowed to be there is only for the only for Kadosh Baruch Hu. And it's in this place of the Mishkan that was so clear. It was on the top. It encompassed the entire Mishkan to understand Hashem's presence is all encompassing in our life. It's the Mamad Har Sinai that is constantly with us. And for us to realize that when I understand this and I integrate this and I realize this, when I, so to speak, live under the tachashkins, I realize how fragile I am, how frail I am, and I would ever think of feeling gaifa? I would ever think of feeling haughtiness? Impossible. It's antithesis of what I'm all about, and that is the first message of the tachashkins. The second message of the tachashkins is the Shuli Pinchas himself, or Pinchas Friedman. Where it's a very long essay. I try to highlight, not the entire essay, but major ideas. He speaks about the Zohar Kadosh in Parsha Truma that states that the middle bar between the beams shall extend from end to end. Rabbi Shimon said that this Pasuk is a reference to Yaakov, the Holy Perfect One. The Pasuk in Bereishit describes Yaakov as Yoshev Ohalim. Similarly, the Pasuk here states that the middle bar bridged between two ends. It was connected to both. What is this a reference to? So we know that Avraham Avinu's attribute was Chesed, continuing in 16, kindness, which occupies the right side. Yitzhak Avinu, representing the attribute of Gvura, severity, strength, restraint, occupies the left side. Whereas Yaakov, whose attribute is Tiferes, splendor, beauty, balance, combines Chesed and Gvura together. This is significant that Yaakov was Yoshev Ohalim in the plural, that he was able to take both traits, both tents, so to speak, the trait of kindness, the trait of restraint, and be able to bridge them together. That's why he is the Mavriach min HaKatzeh LaKatzeh. He bridged the gap between the two extremes. So that Bariach HaTichton, that bar on the, that bridged both sides of the Mishkan, that one long bar that held everything together, is representative of Yaakov Avinu, who indeed held together the different attributes of the forefathers and synthesized them together. We know that the bar, this Briach HaTichton, came from what? Came from the Atzei Shittim. We spoke about this at length a number of times, from the trees that Yaakov Avinu had planted in Beersheba before going down, had taken from Beersheba that Avraham Avinu had planted, taken them down to Egypt, replanted them there, and told the children of Israel to take them out when they left. Yaakov Avinu had to be involved in the planting of these trees because he is really the one who symbolizes and represents what the Mishkan is about. It's a place of synthesis between both sides. He then goes on to explain that this Mikdash, Vasuli Mikdash, V'shachanti b'tocham, in Source 18, the word li is an indication that something will be forever. How was the Mishkan forever? So we know, again, we've spoken about this, that the Atzei Shittim owned him, that the Mishkan was hidden, was concealed, buried, as is, and parts of this Mishkan are going to be integrated in the third base of Mikdash. And indeed, Yaakov Avinu, in 19, is the one for whom the third base of Mikdash is called, right? The nations will say, let us go up to what? El Har Hashem, El Beit Elokei Yaakov. Avraham Avinu represents the first base of Mikdash. It was destroyed. He had a child who was a Yishmael. Yitzhak Avinu represents the second Beis HaMikdash. It was destroyed. He has a child representing an Esa. The third Beis HaMikdash, Obed Elokei Yaakov, the nations say, will go up to the house of Yaakov. It's the third Beis HaMikdash. It's the schus of the merit of Yaakov Avinu. The third Beis HaMikdash is connected to the Mishkan, which is held together by the beams that Yaakov Avinu created. And therefore, Yaakov Avinu creating those beams, those wood, and symbolically holding this Beis HaMikdash, this Mishkan together, is going to continue in the third Beis HaMikdash, which will be in the merit of Yaakov Avinu, and will be a direct leap, a Sulim Mikdash, a direct continuation of the Mishkan. Now, let's just summarize this in 20, seeing as the Mishkan was concealed and is destined to be part of the third Beis HaMikdash, which will endure forever in the merit of Yaakov, who all his children followed in his ways. It was imperative that Yaakov himself make preparations for the Mishkan, and this explains the idea that the Briach HaTachton, that lower bar, came from Yaakov Avinu. For in truth, Yaakov Avinu is the middle link sustaining the Mishkan until La'asi Lavo, when it will be incorporated in the third Beis HaMikdash. Okay. What does this have to do with the Tachash? So he says very beautifully, he quotes an idea from the Belzer Rebbe, who heard it originally from the Magid of Meshuret, that, and again, this is based on the Zohar, and again, don't take this literally, it is teaching us, it's couched in symbolism. I am not, albeit well over 40, not versed in symbolism, so I can't explain it to you, my friends. But I'm going to just present it, and then again, this is something else you can look into. I can't be doing all the work here. Avram is the color of white, says the Zohar Kadosh. Yitzchak is the color of red, and that makes sense. Avram is chesed, which is white, a lot of Torah on that. Yitzchak is red, his blood, his gvura, a lot of Torah on that. And Yaakov, the synthesis of these two colors, no, it's not pink, my friends, is green. What green represents, ask your local person who knows Kabbalistic insights. Since Yaakov served Hashem with Tiferes, a mixture of Chesed and Gvura, his color is green, a mixture of the two colors. We see therefore that Avraham Avinu and Yitzchak Avinu were both limited to a single color or shade. Yaakov Avinu, on the other hand, was multidimensional, represented by the color green. And that's the language of Rashi, that he was sas umipa'er b'gvanim shalom. It's not a reference to the bird, to the animal, my friend. It's a reference to Yaakov Avinu, who we'll see represents this tachash skin, that he prided himself, not pride in conceit, but pride in the terms of Tiferet, Mitzpa'er, that his attribute, he was Mitzpa'er, Tiferet, and the fact that he was able to take a combination of the Chesed and Gvura and create a new combination of colors. Yaakov Avinu did not introduce any new shades into the world. He took the two existing colors introduced by Avraham and Yitzchak, and blended them together. The result was green. Therefore, he was able to rejoice and take pride in the colors and attributes he learned from his father Yitzchak and his grandfather Avraham. This does not in any way contradict his trait of humility. On the contrary, he's taking pride in the Kedusha of his forefathers. Now, how does this tie in to the name Tachash? So he brings here a very fascinating Chasam Sofer in 22. Chasam Sofer says, Gemara Brachos teaches us that anyone who sees a well in their dream, a bear, a well in their dream, should will merit to have Torah, will merit to have Chayim, life, and will merit to see Shalom. Three things, Torah, Chayim, and Shalom, which spells out Tachash, Torah, Chayim, and Shalom. And the opposite of that, the klipa of that, is the opposite. Shin chet taf, which is shachar, which is what the Gemara speaks about, that we run and they run. We run to learn Torah and they run to the vanities of this world, the nonsense of this world, and they run toward a pain of be'er shachar. Shachar and tachash are the two antitheses. The tachash, which was put on the top of the Mishkan, represents our goal. Our goal of Torah, Chaim, and Shalom. The opposite is the depth, is Shachat, which is a world which is devoid of Torah, Chaim, and Shalom. Yaakov Avinu, and he brings Psukim to show, is connected to all three. Yaakov Avinu was obviously Torah, which we know that the three pillars of the world, Chesed is Avinu, Gvura, Tefillah is Yitzchak Avinu, and Torah is Yaakov Avinu. Torah, Yaakov Avinu never died, he's Chayim, that's the Gemara tells us. And the third one of the Birkas Kohanim, the Yaseim Lecha Shalom, is Yaakov Avinu. And further he says, when Yaakov Avinu went to Haran, the Pasuk tells us he saw Be'er Basadeh, and there are three Shlosha Edrei Tzon Rosimaleh, the three flocks of sheep by this well. The three flocks of sheep represent what this well is connected to, what Yaakov Avinu is connected to, Shalom, Chaim, Torah, Chaim, and Shalom. And he goes further in 24, I don't want to be too esoteric here, in 24, which I think I've already crossed over the esoteric line a while ago, but okay, that the idea of Tiferet, of this quality of Yaakov Avinu, he quotes in 24 how Torah is called Tiferet, how Chaim, life, is called Tiferet, and how Shalom is referred to as Tiferet. So we have here, in other words, 25, Yaakov revels and takes pride in the fact that his attribute, Tiferet, is green and combines the colors of Chesed and Gvura. It turns out that both the name mentioned in the Torah, Tachas, and the interpretation of being rejoicing in his color have the same message. That Yaakov Avinu is both one who is found on the top, who represents the synthesis of Klal Yisrael, who can live a life of Torah, Chaim, and Shalom together, bridging the Chesed and Gvura, as well as the bottom pole as well, that Yaakov Avinu represent almost like a sandwich of what the entire Mishkan is about. This is the model that we should emulate. It's the model of Yaakov Avinu. And hence, when we talk about, when Rashi speaks about, Chazal speak about, that this animal prided itself, it's not that the animal prided itself, it's that the one who embodied these characteristics prided themselves, and that is none other than Yaakov Avinu. My friend, if we can just bring this down a little bit, not too far, into a more concrete level of life, and then we'll get to the third, which is much more concrete, my friends. Eretz Hashem. The Chasam Sofer, Pardes Moshe, on the idea on Od Shin of Shalom, says very beautifully. He says, when we speak about the souls of Esav, it says Nefashot, plural. When it speaks about the Shivim Nefesh, the 70 souls that came down with Yaakov Avinu, it uses in the singular. Why by Esav are their family used in the plural, and by Yaakov Avinu in the singular? It's because they serve many gods, and we serve one God. So that's the Chasam Sofer. It could be even that they serve one God, but the way they serve their one God is with multiplicity. This one is serving God in order to have children. This one's serving God in order to have money. This one's serving God in order to have rain. They're serving them for their personal benefit. We serve Hashem, however, and this he says with Peir Nefashos, Omnam b'nei Yaakov kol machshavatam shekol echad ponen l'nekuda achat. But our service of God, singular, is to one mission. Lasot ritzoncha elokai chafatzti, to do Hashem's will. Ani dodi v'dodi li, v'cho chasi ha'olam, kilo chashuvim rak lasot nacharuch l'misha marai olam. Our goal, right, the idea of the circle, singing in the future, the machol, around Hashem, right, our whole goal is being able to serve one Hashem. And that's really the integration, he says, of what Shalom is. When we're talking about Shalom peace, it's not just people getting along. And this is very, very deep and very beautiful. He says the Chasam Sofer, the prerequisite to have peace in this world, and it's so appropriate for the situation we're in now, is that we have our focus in is Torah and Chaim. That we realize that our chayus, our life, comes from a life of Torah, comes from a life of a Kadosh Baruch Hu. When we, our whole focus is that way, then everything around us will be shalom, will be shlemos, will be able to get along with other people, will be able to get along with ourselves, because we recognize that it's not, you know, a dog-eat-dog world and I'm trying to outdo you. If I see Hashem is here, involved in my world, and I'm doing the best I can do to serve God, then I'm not jealous of you, because you're also serving God, and we're working together, we're all in a circle, equidistant to the center, to serve Hashem. That's the tachash that's on top. That's the goal that we need to reach. When we speak about that be'er again is that wellspring. It's something coming from the depth. You want to know what the depth of our being, we are our source of sustenance, which is what water represents, is about. It's about tachash, Torah, chayim, and shalom. Where shalom is about that our life, our chayos, is connected to Torah, and my whole focus in life is, and everything I do, will this bring nachat ruach to Hashem? Will this bring, you know, pleasure, kivyachol to HaKadosh Baruch Hu? Is this Hashem's will? And if I ask myself that question, cold side to shell, am I allowed to speak the Lashon Hara? Will this bring nachat ruach to Hashem? Am I going to say a bracha that's going to bring nachat ruach to Hashem? Am I going to be jealous? Am I going to daven? Whatever it is. My whole focus is on doing Ritzon Hashem. That's the tachash. That's the synthesis. That's the Yaakov Avinu, the Midah of Emes, the Midah of Truth. So, my friends, we've seen two ideas here. The first is indeed the animal itself is full of gaiva. Hashem says, you know what, animal, you can't be around for too long. You're Rak L'sha. Why? Because you can't have haughtiness in this world. It doesn't exist. We come from dirt, and when we turn to dirt, we're so fragile. Right? One virus knocks you out for the week. Like, you realize, you just can't. The Tachash reminds us, only Hashem, right? Hashem Malach Gate Lavish, only Hashem can wear pride. That's where it begins, that's where it ends. It's a continuation of Mamad Har Sinai for us to realize Hashem's presence in this world. On the second level, a little bit more esoteric, is that the Tachash represents the Midah of Yaakov Avinu. The Midah of Yaakov Avinu had him be on the bottom as well as the top of the Mishkan, which was then going to be found in the Beis HaMikdash, third Beis HaMikdash, which is the going to be in the Schus, the merit of Yaakov Avinu. So the entirety, bottom and top, the entirety of the Mishkan is about Yaakov Avinu, the idea of synthesis, the idea of focus. What is the focus? The focus is Tachash, as the Chasam Sofer points out, Torah, Chaim, and Shalom. That's the Tiferet, that's the idea of splendor. And in our lives, to recognize that our Torah and Chaim is dependent, or our Shalom is dependent, and our Chaim is dependent on Torah. Third level. Much easier, my friends. Here goes. Well, a little bit easier. Rabbi Zeir Fire, who was a Ram, no longer alive, in Yeshiva at Kerem B'Yavne, big Talmid Chacham, 27. He says, "Im nivra av riyachad ashalosh sha'ah." If they're going to create something for a short amount of time, obviously you have to ask, "Ma'wa tzarech hazeh?" What's the need for it? What do we learn from this? Why is this here? And he says here, "Avaloki lulanu chachaminu nichitzutzu mahi." The Chazal don't tell us. It's almost like a secret, shrouded in secret, what this tachash is all about. He said, but we can't say on a philosophical level the following, that when we look at the Mishkan, we understand that the idea of Torah, the idea of the top of the Mishkan, has many different shades, which is a reflection that all of us view our relationship with Torah, with the Kodesh Baruch Hu, from many different vantage points. Albeit, he said, there was an animal that existed like this, but we don't use that animal because it was a tame animal. That all our vantage points have to come from a place of Tara, have to come from a place of holiness. And therefore, 28, Ribui Kuvanim Shimakaram Tahor Ein Bo Psul. There are Ayin Panim LaTorah. There are 70 ways of learning Torah. Kolacha Megalev Torah Panim Acheron. And if you're coming from a place of Tara, coming from a place of Yerushamayim, of Hesorah, there are many ways of understanding way a Pasuk of Chumash is, way, many different dimensions, a prism of seeing the complexity of Torah, of Hashkafa. Lufi Koach Tvisatov Avarato. Every person, based on their understanding and their insight. Kol Tzivei HaKeshet Yishnam B'machshav HaYadut HaMekori. You have the whole spectrum of the rainbow. However, he says, Im HaMitzvah Masit Mukhracha Liyot Mugderet Bili Heter L'Stiya Kol Shehi. Harei Tameh Mitzvah Namashmutam Heim Rabim V'Shonim V'Kulam B'Yachad HaMerachad Heim Ein Stira B'Neim Adrabah Ribui Gvanim Yotzer Harmonia Shlema. He says there is two dimensions. One is the mitzvah itself. The mitzvah itself has to be done according to the halacha. And that is very precise and very accurate. The tamei mitzvah, so the reason behind it, how you're to feel about it, that every person brings in their own spectrum. And he says that's the imagery of what the Mishkan is about, why the tachash was on the top, and why the kelim were on the bottom. The kelim, the actual what you built was very specific. It was an amma, an amma and a half by two ammas, had to look like this. The directives were very specific. And when Moshe Rabbeinu had difficulty, Hashem had to show him what a menorah looked like. You just can't make it up. It was very specific. That's halacha. Halacha is you got to take a lulav and an esrog and a hadassim and a revels, and this is what it looks like. You can't take any hadassim you want. You can't take any revels you want. You can't take any... Very specific. That's the Mishkan down here. The tachash on top, the multicolored top, is a reflection of now when you're taking the bottom and bringing your service to Hashem. That is where the diversity and multiplicity come into play. Where one person is going to sing and dance before they take the lulav and esrog. One person is going to hold the wall of davening. You're going to have all of the excitement. You know, one person is going to bench lich for 20 minutes. One person is going to daven this way. It's all about, you know, take a fresh challah. You know, there are people who say a tefillah, yehi ratzon, before every ingredient they put into their challah. Before they put in the water, before they put in the sugar, and before they put in the, you know, the ingredients of challah. Another person will just make challah and just be mafrish challah. Another person will take, be mafrish challah and daven bin mafrish challah. All of these are fine. As long as you have the amount that is halachically required, that needs a fresh challah with or without a bracha, after that, there is all the colors in the rainbow. Invest your individuality, again, within the rubric of Torah, of Tara, into what you are doing. That individuality, that you, is what the Tachash was about. And this explains, he notes in 29, the famous medrash about the difference between Moshe Rabbeinu and Bezalel, where Moshe Rabbeinu said, first make the Kelim and then make the Mishkan. And Bezalel said, well, I can't do that. If I have all the furniture, I need to have a house to put it in. First make the house and then the furniture. So there's much Torah on that. But one of the ways of understanding this, he explained, is Moshe Rabbeinu was saying, that's what comes before Nishra. We have to focus on this is the halacha. These are the kelim. This is what needs to get done. Then you want to build the Mishkan. Then you want to build different approaches. That's fine. But understand, at least, in giving over the instruction, that there are certain things that are clearly among halacha. I can't deviate from halacha. I can't decide, well, you know what, I don't think that this should be the amount of afreshet challah. You know, it suits me to do A, B, and C. No. There is very specific requirements. After that, how you want to invest in that afreshet challah, into all the ingredients and what you do, because today, that is our dimension. And the Tanta Das, Rav Sternbach, Shlita notes this in 30, where he says, "V'ldati ramaz bekano divrei akvanim b'avodat ribui akvanim b'avodas Hashem." Hashem is Baruch. That this is a reflection of the different pathways in serving Hashem. Asher l'chol tzadik v'ovid Hashem l'fi darko. Every tzadik, every Eved Hashem, according to their ways, according to their tchunos. Ve'evaz Hashem stira. There's no contradiction. This is the tiferet. We just spoke about Yaakov Avinu. This is the glory of Klal Yisrael. Because Klal Yisrael are different, and the differences combine together. When you have the different davenings together, this is what creates a ribui kvod shamayim in this world. And that is why the Tachash was a michsei lemikdash. It's one mishkan, but it's coming from different approaches. My friends, the message for us, I think, is a very powerful message. It's a message, obviously, for Brazil and the Sefer, but Shvili Nivra Olam, for me, the world was created, speaks about an entire Sefer. 31, we have to understand that there are many ways to serve HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And this is why there were 12 tribes. Because each tribe had their own path. Each tribe has their own kochos and nefesh. And that's why if you recognize that everyone has their own way to serve God, there's no kinna. There's no jealousy. We're all focused on the same end goal. We're all focused that I'm doing this for the service of Hashem. So that even when I do ask for children or health or parnasa, I'm doing this to be able to serve Hashem better. It's all for the same focus. And he says that's hinted at in the word shevet. Shevet is made up of two parts, shev and tet. Shev is to sit. It's to be able to sit like Teshuvu kein taduru, to have a yeshuva das, to be able to really sit in a very stable type of way. And the letter tet is the semel for truth. It's a letter that represents a letter of truth. And he says one of the ways that you see this is that we know in math that any combination of numbers that will multiply by 9 will come back to the letter, the number 9. Let me put that in English. So let's say you have 9 times 3 is 27. 2 plus 7 is 9. I can't do higher math now. 9 times 9 I can do 81. That much my head can handle. 8 to 1 is 9. Because it all comes back to the point of truth. Svat emet tikon la'ad. That it all comes back to one nekuda. The Shevet is Hashvatim Hakoach Liyot Miyushav Ba'amet Vashorash Shiloh. A Shevet means that you're able to sit with the truth that is your Chelek. As the Elishur 32 points out, Ani Mimizuk Hamyuchat Shokochatai. Rav Shur, Rav Volbi and Elishur, that I and the mixture that has made me me, Ben Lo Tam Avo, child of these parents, Nolad B'tocho Tatzkufa B'Tatzviva, that I was born in this place at this time, means that I have a special avoda that is waiting for me to do, Lo Uchal Lachlif Im Shum Adam Acher B'Olam, that I can't switch with anyone else. Very famous idea, 33, that my friend quotes from Rav Kook, that we say in the Amidah at the end of Ne'ilah, until I was born, it was not the time for me. My specific mission in life was for this period and no other. And now that I've come into this historical epoch, it's as if I was never born, for I've squandered the abilities that were given me in order to fulfill this mission. Not only is each one of us born into the world with a unique combination of strength, but each of us is born into the world at a particular time, when those powers are needed for fulfillment of some part of the divine plan. And now, says Rav Brazil, going back to 32 in the arrow, that this is what the Tchashim represented. If you take a look at Rashi, Rashi has two ideas here. One, that it had many different shades, that it was very pridefulness, and two, that it was also show for a very short amount of time. He says, 34, V'alul adam liyo mekaneh botzar zulav v'mashach hoshev shilo ya lo mishav chaveiro v'vadai yoter nakalo lo yot ovid Hashem yoter madrigato. A person may think, you know what, if I had what belonged to somebody else, I could serve Hashem better. No. A person has to realize that the Tachash was a major part of the Mishkan, the Arot Chashim, the hides of the Tachash. Shemimena yulmad kol adam liyot, the double underlined sas b'gvanim hamyuchadim shelo. Just like the Tachash felt good about himself and his colors, who is the Tachash? On the first level, it's the animal itself. On the second level, it's Yaakovino. On the third level, it's us. We need, again, not in a conceited way, in a healthy way, to be prideful of our special hues and colors, to be Ezu Asher Sameach Bechelko. Ah, and if you ask yourself, well, how do I achieve this? That's the first part of Rashi. That they were there for only a Sha'ah, for a short amount of time. He said, "Sheyesh gam inyan shenim shimsei tol tachas, v'hu sheyakir shelo ba'al olam rak l'sha'ah." The Tachash knew that it was only in this world for a short amount of time. When a person realized, "Shelo notzarti, at shelo notzarti nikedai, until I was created, I wasn't worth anything. That I've come to this world for a short amount of time, that I can do what nobody else can do, then I will be filled with joy in the opportunity that Hashem gave me in my particular circumstances in life to be able to accomplish what I need to accomplish." And this is a deeper understanding of the pasuk. We say at the end of Aleinu, "V'yadata yom v'shivot elovecha," and you should know today and put into your heart, "Ki Hashem Elokim Hashemayim Himal," that Hashem is God in the heaven above, "V'al aretz mitachat," and on the earth below, "Eino," there is no other, obviously referring to God. But again, 70 ways of understanding it, "Eino," is referring to us as well. A person has to know, "She'ein acher zulato," nobody else can do what I can do. "She'chol adat et Hashem," to know God, "mitoch ha'splaklaria shel amidos," through my midos, through my sechel, through my kochos of yuchados, "rak lobo tozman boto ador shulchai," what makes me unique in the time that I live. And that, my friend, is why the Tachash is on top of the Mishkan, to teach us how we have to look at our Vodas Hashem with uniqueness. How I have to look at myself and see what is my contribution, why I was created this time and place, what makes me me, and be able to serve Hashem in that unique and special way. And that's what, interesting, the Torah Shlema, in his footnotes in 36, points out that who was the one who was joyful in the colors? So we said on this third level is the people, but it's deeper than that. He says, brings it a source that says, "Yesharim shimsugela ba'chai zeh, shekol haro'e oto tasur mimenu hadaiga vaninus." that when people would look at this, it would take away from them all worry and all despair. That people, that this tachas skin had the ability to make people happy within themselves, which is similar again to what Chazal speak about, that Yerushalayim, Pasuk in Tehillim, is Mesos Kol Haaretz, it's the place of joy in the whole world. And Rav Brazil, on this Kapitel Tehillim 37, speaks about that when a Jew came to Yerushalayim, he felt the Yofi B'Nekudah HaBechira Shelo. He felt the beauty in himself. When he saw the Beis HaMikdash, he recognized it inspired within him that he has his own special contribution to contribute to the world. And he felt ki yirgish simcha gedola b'chashivus hamiyuchadet shelo. B'sos kol ha'aretz Yerushalayim, Beis HaMikdash made a person rejoice, like the Tachash made a person rejoice, because it made a person focus in on what is unique to them. What are their special colors? What is it about me that I can serve Hashem that nobody else, from beginning of time to the end of time, will have this ability to do? Let's summarize this, my friends, and add one more nekuda, which is absolutely gorgeous. Level number one, it's prideful, it's in its own colors. Recognize Hashem Malach Eit Lavesh, that pride only belongs to Hashem. We are fragile. Level number two, it's tiferet. There's a beauty in synthesis, and that's the beauty of Yaakov Avinu, and that's the tachash of to live a level of real shalom, of inner, outer peace on every level. You need to have our chayim full of Torah, with a focus of Hashem in this world, that whatever we ask for, whatever we do, whatever we daven for, it's to be able to serve Hashem better. It's not about me. It's not about what's in it for me. It's about how I can be the best Eved Hashem, and that's what Hashem wants for me, and that's the greatest joy possible. That was the joy of Yaakov Avinu in the multiplicity of colors. The third level is that the Tachash was on top. The Mikdash, the Mishkan was on the bottom with the Kelim, where you have to follow Ritzon Hashem to the, you know, down to the Diyuk B'Halacha, into the intricacies of Halacha. When it comes to the feeling of Halacha, when it comes to the feeling invested in it, that, al pi derech ha-tara, right, derech ha-kedusha, a person can invest their own self. And part of this investment of their own self in Avodas Hashem is what makes me unique. So if, you know, I have a beautiful voice, so then maybe I will be chosen to lead the Tehillim, let's say at the Amen group in Lawrence, which is so beautiful on Rosh Chodesh. It's such a gewaltig way to inspire women in Avodas Hashem. Or use my voice in other ways to inspire people in their Avodas Hashem. Whatever kochos ha-nefesh that I have, that I can use to be able to bring people closer in Avodas Hashem. That is what the pridefulness, again, pride is the wrong word, the feeling of I'm unique, I'm special, I have my colors, I have my hues, I have my special combination, which is unique for now. When one saw the tachash, that's when one felt this joy in taking away any daiga, any worry. You know where worry comes from? What am I doing here? What's life all about? It's all taken away. Like Yerushalayim, same idea. Was Mesos Kol Haaretz that brought in this feeling of joy that I know exactly what I'm supposed to do here in this world. I'd like to end with a beautiful idea of the Divrei Yisrael of Majid, who really, I think, pushed me over the edge to do this year. Not pushed me over the edge, but convinced me. It was a tough race what was going to be the topic for today's shir. 38, Majid, where he says the following. You know what it means to be samech b'chelka, to be happy with what you have, to serve Hashem with your colors on your rainbow? So chelko is, Rashi says, b'chelik shekadosh baruch hu mazmin li, whatever Hashem gives me. So not only with my attributes do I serve Hashem, but with my life experiences, with whatever challenges and whatever blessings I have in my life, much broader, that's how I serve Hashem. In fact, Chelki, my portion, is Rashi Tevo, Cham, Lach, Kar, V'Yavesh, all different aspects, whether it's cold, it's hot, it's liquid, it's solid, in all different, and those are obviously symbolism, all different aspects of life, I'm able to serve a Kadosh Baruch Hu. And that's what the Tachash was about. L'sha'a, he understood his hour, he understood that this is where he needed to be, and this is why he was created in this world. Albeit for a short time, but no complaints. This is where Hashem wants me. The Divrei Yisrael continues by saying, the Pasuk by Yaakov says, that v'chol ish asher nimsta ito lamed hei kaf gimel, anyone who had within him the chelet, the argamat, etc., the arot elim v'arot chashim, they brought it. So he says, where did they get this arot chashim from? Which is one of the original questions we had asked. So he says that it was found, like, you know, running in the wilds in where they were, and anyone who could was able to capture it and able to bring its hide. So he says, if that's true, then was anyone able to take it and bring it? What does it mean, those who asher nimsa ito, that was found within it? I understand the person has gold and silver. What does it mean they found within it? Those are the ones who trapped it? What is b'pshat? So listen to what he says here. He says, even though they were hefker and anybody could trap it, afal pikein 39, lo hayakol harotzeli to yavo v'ito, not everybody had the opportunity to be able to trap this animal. Rak mishi yizmin lo kodesh baruch hu hu shenim staito. Only one who Hashem enabled them to have it found by them could bring it. And who were these people that enabled them to have it? These were people who might not necessarily have had the gold and the silver, but they were sameach b'chelkam. These were people who were happy with their lot in everything that Hashem gave them. To those people, Hashem gave them this tachash. The tachash on the top was brought by people who were very specific people. These were people who understood that life, what's going to mete out for me, is exactly what I need. And those are the people that Hashem, that's the nice thing you see, that's the miracle, that Hashem was able to pick out who are those individuals who are happy with their lot, who are happy with their shah, with their hour. Those are the ones, and their chilki, and the cham, lach, kar, yafesh, they're the ones who were able to donate the tachas. And he says the same thing holds true in Parnassa. Someone who is samech b'chalko, who's happy in their lot, and recognizes that Hashem can give Parnassa at all times, these are the ones that will be blessed. And if you see by the Mishkan, Hashem enabled this creature to come out of nowhere in order to be able to give the Jews that, you know, beautiful covering for what they needed, Hashem likewise will provide for us, whether it's money, whether it's shiduchim, whether it's children, which whatever we need, exactly when we need it, to provide for us as well. The tachash is a model of rak l'shah, for an hour, to show us that there's mais and nisim. That's how Hashem enclosed the world, so to speak. That's the covering of the Mishkan, of Hashem's presence in the physical world, is that Hashem will give people what they need when they need it. You know, it's that famous Dubno Magid Mashal, Rav Foya brings down in Tilum Treasury, on the pasuk of Hashlecha L'Hashem Yahavcha, V'hu Yikal Kilecha V'lo Yitain Lamot L'Tzadi. Cast upon Hashem your burden, and He will sustain you. He'll never allow the faltering of the righteous. So it's that Mashal of a weary tramp that's walking in off the, on the road, carrying his heavy sack. A wagon driver passed by, offered him a lift. When the tramp eagerly accepted the traveling, after traveling a while, the wagon driver noticed that his passenger still kept his heavy load upon his shoulders, even though there was plenty of empty space in the wagon. And he asked him, why don't you just put it down? He said, I appreciate your kindness, but really, it's enough that you're giving me a ride in your wagon. Should I bother you to carry my load as well? Fool, exclaimed the driver, don't you realize that if I'm carrying you, I'm also carrying your load? Similarly, many people spend their entire lives bent under the tremendous burden of worrying regarding earning a livelihood. Of course they believe in God, but they're satisfied with His generosity in carrying them by providing life and health. Erroneously, they reason, how can I bother Him to sustain me financially as well? That is my worry as well. They fail to realize that the Creator who maintains the life of His creatures also provides their livelihood. Man's responsibility is to remember that He Himself does not make a living. He merely takes a living from God. Therefore, cast upon Hashem your burden and He will sustain you. You know, very briefly, because the hour is all but finished, before we summarize, it's a story that Rav Asher brings in Living Emunah, Volume 1, that great story of a Meshulach who needs to marry off a child, needs $25,000, was not successful in America, so decides to go to Australia. And there's a rabbi who's also going to be speaking in Australia, and the travel agent hooks them up so they can travel this long trip together. So as they're going through the security, this Meshulach shoes get lost. You know, you have to take your shoes off, and obviously somebody else took his shoes, and no shoes to be found. So they give him a voucher for an Australian to buy shoes, but till then, he's shoeless. And he walks through the airport, walks on the plane without shoes, not complaining. This is, okay, what can I do? I have no shoes. And he and this rabbi go up in the middle of the flight to stretch, and there's a fellow on the plane who's standing with them. And he turns, and this rabbi is the intermediary, who's the interpreter, because this Mashulach is collecting from Eretz Yisrael, so Hebrew is his language. He turns to this fellow and he says, you know, I've watched you this entire time. I was behind you on that line. You know, if they had lost my shoes, there would have been such a riot, such a fury. I am not leaving here till you find my shoes, put it on the loudspeaker. I don't know, I would have, you know, had the house come crashing down. And you took everything with such equanimity. I was astounded how somebody could be walking around, a grown man, without shoes, without complaining. And he continued to ask what he was doing on his trip to Australia. So the rabbi explained he's trying to raise money for his child's wedding. And this man said, such a refined person needs to go door-to-door collecting? How much money does he need? $25,000. He gives him a check of Australia money, which turned out to be $33,000. The guy cashes the money in Australia, and it was real money. And goes right back to Eretz Yisrael. My son, you see, the guy saw that this is a refined man. He shouldn't be going around collecting. I'll give him the money. Where does money come from? The Tachash. Tzarech Shah. Hashem can be Mansi, a person on the plane in Australia, you know, to give you the money. Stranger things have happened. This is what we need to understand in life. And that is what the Tachash is all about. Practically for our lives, my friends. Aside from the fact that I think this is the most fascinating shiur personally. And Hodu Lashem Kitov, we should continue to have the strength to do many more shiurim. That the Tachash is there as a symbol of humility. It's a symbol of Tiferet, a symbol of synthesis, of a vision of the third base of Mikdash, where both the top and the bottom will be connected in the schuf of Yaakov Avinu. And it's that idea of shalom, of that real peace, is when we are able to focus our chayus, our life, and our Torah together toward Hashem. And finally, multiplicity and diversity is very important. We need to be shevet. We need to be healthy and firm in what makes us unique, what makes us special. Be very careful about the halacha, but the what we can invest in it and what makes us unique and our character traits and our koros hachayim, what happens to us in our lives, is what makes my contribution, my teaching, my whatever I do, unique in Avodas Hashem. And we have to realize that we are here, l'sha, we are here for a short amount of time. 120 years is very short, my friends. The Tachash was here for a short amount of time. But when you realize that you're here with all of these beautiful colors, then you realize you're here to serve Hashem. You're here as the Tachash was to fulfill a purpose. There's no greater simcha than that. When you saw that Tachash, you were filled with the joy of, I have a job to do, no one else can do it. And I recognize that when I understand this, and Hashem has put me directly here in my life situation, therefore I will be samech b'chelki, I'll be happy in my portion, and I will be indeed the one who's going to deserve to have the Tachash come right to my door, that I can bring it as a gift to the Mikdash. Where I realize that I put down my heavy parcel, and I realize that Hashem is carrying me, and I learn from that Tachash that I need to be a person who's going to be carried by a Kadosh Baruch Hu, that I'm here for a purpose, and Hashem is going to take care of me to enable me, correct davening, correct focus, to be able to do my special mission, my special colors in this world.